want to speak to you this morning about perception. We've heard this, the phrase, the cliche, perception is reality. They say that in advertising, they say it in communication skills. Whatever people perceive, that is the reality. I just want to add an adverb onto that if I can. Perception truly is reality. Perception. What do you and I think? Have you ever thought about, Brighton, just off the top of your head, how many times the Word of God talks about the mind, your thoughts? Really, your belief system, the heart is really greatly connected in the Word of God. When it says your heart, it speaks to your thought patterns, if you will. I just randomly, this past week, from my own knowledge, I wrote down several verses of Scripture without even looking to a concordance. One of them, my favorite, is Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Isaiah chapter 26, I'll quote it in today's message. 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We see in 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says, regarding temptation. So if you think you stand firm, be careful that you don't fall. Philippians 2:5 in the King James Version, what does it say? Let the same mind that is in Christ Jesus be also in you. One of the favorites that we all know, or many of you would know, is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your thoughts, your mind, your intentions are huge in your walk with Jesus Christ. There's been a verse I asked Tiffany, Ron and I, our admin assistant. She ordered a book for me, and quite honestly, the book was a little bit disappointing. But there was one verse that was quoted that if I just bought the book for that one verse, it was a good buy. And it's a verse that I want you to read with me and see it on the screen. And it's 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 12. Let me give you the background. King David, you know, he had been on the run from King Saul, the first king of Israel, King Saul. King Saul's diabolical. You want to talk about a whacked out mind. He's schizophrenic. He has these huge mood swings, and he's just trying to track down David. We looked at that a couple weeks ago. Saul passes. We know the story. And the lower kingdom, the southern part of the kingdom, Judah, has asked David to be their king. He's been the king for 7.5 years, okay? He's set up a leadership in Hebron. But this is what happens. What's interesting to me is the split kingdom at that time that was divided, the Israelite leaders, they had not chose David. And for 7.5 years, David was only king of Judah. But after 7.5 years, they come and they say, you know what? We want you to be our king too. If you're with me, say amen. And this is a verse of Scripture, Brighton, that I'll just try and expound on just for 30 seconds. It says there, it's very poignant, 2 Samuel 5:12, and David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel. David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel. That's amazing to me. You know why it's amazing? Because the Lord had already placed the crown on his head. He had already been king over the United Kingdom for a season. They had gone up and they had rescued Jerusalem from the Jebusites. They had won other battles. But then there was this revelation to David. You know what? You are the king of Israel. He perceived that the Lord had established him. The crown's on his head. But then it comes into his mind, I would say to you, Brighton, and I believe this with all my heart, The fact of the matter for us is this, that for us to really realize what our destiny is in Jesus Christ, you have to understand who you are and identify who you are in Jesus as well. It's huge to understand who you are in Christ. You'll see, I'll reference it at the end of the message, but literally 10 minutes before the service, I remembered this list of 20 affirmations that I had received years ago regarding Scripture. And I quickly called Kathy Giacino to my office and I said, Kathy, you had that on computer. Where is it? She said, Pastor, I think I can find it. And she ran those off. And can I just say that? I would challenge every family to take one. And if we run out, we'll get you more, I promise you. But the fact of the matter is, I would challenge you to take a season to pray. Just those affirmations of who you are in Jesus. For you to be able to experience what God has for you, you have to know who you are. And I want to talk to you this morning about 7 steps to what I would call not just health, mental health, but biblical mental health. To understand who you are in Jesus. How many of you want to be mentally healthy in the spirit realm? Read with me Philippians chapter 4. And we'll pick up reading at verse number 4. And let me just state this, right? And I know it's been a long introduction, but hang with me. You getting tired? There's a great minister. He's since passed away. He used to be the vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention. His name, he had an interesting name. His name was Zig Ziglar. And Zig Ziglar used to state, when he interacted with people, that he said most of their problems are related to what he would call stinking thinking. Say stinking thinking. Don't look at somebody next to you and say that. Just you say it. Stinking thinking. Say it one more time. And this morning I want to speak to you about that. Because most people's problems, whether it's depression, whether it's self-pity, whether it's worry, fear, anger, it's really about improper thinking. And you might say, well, Pastor, if you knew what I've gone through, if you knew my situation that I'm in, you know what? You'd be depressed too, or you'd have self-pity, or you'd be angry, or you'd be worried. You know what? You might be right. But the fact of the matter is, as we read this, I want to remind you who wrote it under what anointing. And that was from Paul. Say Paul. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit. And then you, whenever you study something, you understand where they're writing from. This is one of the prison epistles. Paul's writing this from a Roman prison. And yet he's telling us how to have biblically mental health for the glory of God. And so let's read this together. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, say thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I want to give you 7 steps to biblically mental health. Sound spiritual biblical mental health this morning, right from the passage of Scripture. First off, a person that is healthy spiritually in the mental realm is always going to be a person that is involved in celebration. Look what Paul says there again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, find your joy, not in circumstances, but in the person of Jesus Christ, right? Jesus himself said, this I've told you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Brighton, if I try and find my joy in circumstances or things or position, I'm going to be disappointed. You know, if you get your joy in circumstances and the circumstances change, your joy is going to change. If you get your joy from amusement and the amusement runs out, can I tell you, your joy is going to change. If you get your joy from business or prestige and your business goes bad, your joy is going to change you. If you get your joy from friends and your friends fail, then joy is going to fail you as well. But if you get your joy, you say, from health or fitness and your health gets broken, it will sooner or later, can I tell you, then your joy is going to go as well. But if you get your joy in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I want you to know he does not change. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Karen Borgstrom prayed it in our worship pre-service prayer time. She said, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Hebrews 13, 8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a word that's called immutable, and that's what Jesus is. He does not change. Psalm 16, 11 says this, Brighton. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Have you learned that, Brighton? I love what the old evangelist Vance Havner said. He said, you know what? I've seen more cheerful faces on iodine bottles than I have on some Christians. I would submit to you that no one who has a continuous positive mental attitude or a continuous mental health really goes about it in any other way than to find their joy in the Lord. So you make the choice. Say, I make the choice to rejoice. You make a conscious choice, no matter what the circumstance. If Paul can say in prison, rejoice in the Lord always, I'll say it again, rejoice. How much more can we? I would say celebration. Secondly, manifestation. What does manifestation mean? It means appearance or display. Jesus manifested the person of God Almighty by coming to this earth. Look what the word says regarding display. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Sometimes when preachers are preaching about this passage, right, they're referencing the second coming of the Lord. And I'm not antagonistic towards that, but I just don't think it's what Paul meant there at all. I think what he meant is the Lord is right near us. He's as close as the mention of his name. In fact, he's even closer than that. Because the fact of the matter is, people that are sound biblically in their mental health, they realize that God is with them every minute of every moment of every day. Do you remember what Jesus promised regarding the Holy Spirit as he left this earth? Look at it in John 14. He said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Do you know that, Brighton? Look at that. The Lord is near. You say, well, how near is he, Pastor? He's nearer than the skin on your bones. He's nearer than the air that I'm breathing. He's present with you because he's in you today. And I want you to know something wonderful, Brighton. It's this, that you see your problems as your problems, but you can see your problems as his problems. The Lord Jesus has come to this earth, Brighton, and given you the power of the Holy Spirit, not that you live a trouble-free life, but the Lord goes through the trouble with you as you circumvent this world. Look at the words Jesus said. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. How many of you want peace today? I want peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Sometimes we give Norman Vincent Peale a bad rap because he was kind of the author of positive, personal positive thinking. And I certainly wouldn't agree with everything in his theology, but I don't want to throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater either. And I love the story about Vincent Peale. He was in New York one day, and he was talking to a very successful millionaire in the society. And the man told Norman Vincent Peale, you know what? I've got troubles in my work. You know what? I've got troubles in my home life. I've got troubles in my society life. He said, Mr. Peale, Reverend Peale, I'll give you $1,000 right now if you can take me someplace where people have no troubles. Norman Vincent Peale lifted up his hand and hailed a cabbie immediately. He said, come on, jump in the cab with me. The rich man jumps in the car with Reverend Peale, gives the taxi driver the address. He said, I'm going to take you to a place where people have no troubles. The rich man was very intrigued. Where are we going? They soon arrived at the cemetery. Peale looked and said, the only people in this fallen world who don't have troubles are in cemeteries. Is that where you want to be? The rich man said, no. Peale said, then thank God that you're alive. Accept your troubles as part of life. God will give you the strength to rise above your troubles, and if you will depend upon him. Celebration, manifestation. God's near. He's with you, even through the fires of this world. Thirdly is relaxation. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? And the word says there, do not be anxious about anything. Say the word anxious. Say it nice and loud, anxious. Do you know that that word literally means in the Greek language to divide or to be pulled apart? It literally means the idea that you're on the fringes of schizophrenia. Because a person that has a divided mind, paranoia, if you will, that one side of their mind is saying, you know what? Hey, I'm fearful or I'm worried or I'm anxious. And the other mind, part of the mind says, you know what? No, there's hope. There's trust. And the divided mind is not useful for the kingdom. The word, the English word that we have for worry, it's literally taken from the Anglo-Saxon word, worgen. It means to strangle, to choke. So whether you're strangled or you're divided or cut in two, it's no good, right? But Jesus gives us a word about worry. He tells us that worry is worthless, Brighton. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27 says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? The worry is going to do nothing useful for your life. It's wasteful, Jesus said. 6:34 of Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. God has engineered it, Brighton, and this is going to blow your mind, but here's the deal. Look up here a second. Do you know that God has made this world and even the fallen parts of it point towards him? And you and I are created so that we have some trouble. Do you know that? You know what the coronavirus is doing even to people as we speak? People are thinking, you know what? Hey, can I call on God for help? You know what the fact of the matter is? Trouble makes me and you dependent upon him. If I wasn't in trouble at times or had need of him, the fact of the matter is I would just drift on my own. But the trouble in my life keeps me on my knees to say, Lord, I can't make it. I'm trusting in you. Worry, Brighton, is also wicked. The word says, Jesus proclaimed, Matthew 6:32, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. How many of you are parents out there? Lift your hand. How many of you, like the Martinos, grandparents? Lift your hand. Can I tell you, wouldn't it bum you out if dads and moms, you came home and you came home from a work day, and your child got to the house, you know what, before you did, at any age, and you found them cowering in a corner And you said, you know what, Johnny or Susie, hey, what are you worried about? What are you distraught about? And they said something like, you know what, Mom, Dad, Grandpa, Grandma, I don't know if there's going to be anything for me to even eat for dinner. That would break your heart. You know what? Eleanor doesn't have that issue. You know, she just tells me what she wants. But as a parent, that would break my heart if I heard that. You know what? I just don't know if there's going to be anything available. You've got a Heavenly Father that cares for you. That He sent His one and only Son to die for you. Reward declares this. He can't do anything more to prove to you that He loves you than by sending His Son to die for you. And so for you and I, Brighton, we just need to relax in Him and say, Lord, You care for us. I'm not going to be anxious about anything. You know what anything means? Anything. And this goes hand in glove with these next two, is the idea of supplication. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. Here's the deal, Brighton. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. And the fact of the matter is, if it's not worth praying about, it's not worth worrying about. You and I bring everything to the Lord by prayer and petition. Lord, this is on my heart. Like the old song, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Say those last two. Relaxation. Say supplication. Say appreciation. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Now I'm going to make a broad brush statement, okay? And I'm making it, announcing that I'm going to make it, but I do believe it's true. And it's this. I've never seen a spiritually healthy person that's balanced in their faith, their mind and their attitude. It just, they're not perfect, but they just seem to be headed in the right direction. Their mental capacity is such that they just want to grow in the things of God. I've never seen an individual in that sphere that wasn't also a very thankful person. Gratitude ought to be involved in our prayer life all the time. The one ingredient that can never be lacking in the recipe of prayer is thanksgiving. The word tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. No matter what your circumstances, Brighton, how deep the difficulties, there ought to be an attitude of gratitude about your life that you're continuously giving thanks unto the Lord. And you're slipping away from what God intends for your life when you're not continuously giving praise. John Bunyan, classic author of Pilgrim's Progress, was in prison for 12 years. But later in his life, do you realize that he said his time in prison was, and I quote, a hill from which he could see great things. We're to thank God for the things that are good, but we're also to thank Him, Brighton, first and foremost, because He is good. I'll repeat that again. It's not so much that we're thanking the Lord that things are good, because sometimes things are going to stink in life. You lose a loved one. You get released from the job. You know what? Your kids are going through a difficult time. You get bad news. You know, I'm not talking about mind over matter. I'm talking about you focusing and saying, Lord, regardless if things are good, You're still good, and I'm going to praise Your name. The word says, Psalm 135:3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. I love the story about Corrie Ten Boom. She and her sister were incarcerated captive in a German concentration camp during World War II. And on one occasion, while she was in the camp, her entire body was infested by lice. And she was complaining, Corey was, to her sister Betsy on one occasion. And Betsy, like a good sibling, says, you know what, Corey? The word of God tells us in everything, give thanks. Corey said, how am I going to give thanks for lice? But as she walked away, she felt convicted. And she gave thanks to the Lord. Later, she found out that the lice actually protected her from the sexual assaults of the German guards. We can give thanks no matter what the situation, an appreciation of who God is, because he is good. Number six for positive biblical mental health is concentration. Look what the word says here, Brian. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, say those last four words with me. Think about such things. You see, Brighton, here's the deal. Your mind controls your actions. And you need to control your thought life. And you need to practice positive thinking. You need to practice that. It's the word of God. Are you thinking about those things which are noble? Are you thinking about those things which are right? Are you thinking about those things which are pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy? Those are the things that you're to think about. Remember the verse we quoted at the start of the message? Isaiah 26:3. Look at it. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Steadfast. Fixed. You need to lock your mind on the Lord and keep your mind on the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, explain that to me. You know, it's interesting. I read this illustration this past week. 15 prominent college professors a little while ago took the challenge of condensing down to one statement, not one sentence, but one statement, what it takes to motivate people. They pooled their resources, and this is what they came up with, and I quote, their statement was, what the mind attends to, it considers. And what it does not attend to, it dismisses. What the mind attends to, continually, it believes. What it attends to continually, it believes. Can I ask you? Are you experiencing depressing thoughts? Those are not from the Lord. So get them out of your mind. If you're having continuous thoughts of doubt, can I tell you, they're not from God. Are you having thoughts of unforgiveness, somebody in your past? They're not from God. If your thoughts are continuously of criticizing others, those criticisms are not from God. Are you having thoughts of arrogance or pride or narcissism? Those are not thoughts from God. If you're thinking of thoughts of impurity or greed, those are not thoughts from God. Reject them. Are you thinking the thoughts of violence? Those are not thoughts from God. Reject them. The fact of the matter is, Paul tells us to focus on that which is good, that which is encouraging. Think about those things. On this list today, you're going to see the just spiritual affirmations. John 1:12, I'm a child of God. Galatians 2:20, I'm loved. I'm forgiven, 1 John 1:9. I'm gifted, 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. I'm not ashamed, 2 Timothy 2:15. You and I need to replace those negative thoughts, those things that are impure, those things that are unforgiving, with thoughts that are pure and noble and right. Can you say amen? And as the worship team comes back, one last idea, and we'll wrap it up. You've got to make the decision, Brighton, of activation. You see, you can take down all the notes that you want, and I'm glad when you do. You can jot them down. You can put notes in the margin. You can even read it when you get home. But the fact of the matter is, you've got to activate. You've got to apply the Word of God to your life. In fact, go to that last statement, will you, on page number, slide 15, will you please, Lori? And I want to apply it for you. The fact of the matter is this, Brighton. Here's the life application on page 15 there, slide 15. It says life application right up top. Impression without expression leads to depression. And I really believe that, right? If you don't apply the word of God, you know what, after you hear it, all it's going to do is it's going to cause depression because you're going to say, you know what, I know I should be doing that, but I'm not doing that. So what I'm asking you to do today, Brighton, is to say, Lord, I'm not merely going to be a listener of the word. Now you can go back to 13, please, Lori. Sorry about that. But I want not just to listen to the word and so deceive myself. I want to do what it says. I want to be busy about, Lord, taking it from my head down to my heart where I carry it out. And the fact of the matter is, you and I, we can't be thinking two thoughts at one time. We can vacillate. We talked about that, the divided heart. But the fact of the matter is, when it all shakes out, you've got to settle that in your heart. This is the truth. And the word tells us, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And so here's the litmus test in great part. I want to ask you, have circumstances, your flesh, the enemy, have they stole the joy from your life? Have they stole the joy? If there's not a sense of joy, I'm not talking about walking around like a buffoon or a clown. I'm talking about, is there a joy about your life? Mother Teresa, Rhonda and I had been to her hostel and her caring center for those poor babies in Calcutta. Just a little hole in the wall. All those years when we visited there. And somebody came to Mother Teresa on one occasion on that grimy street there in Calcutta and said, you know what, what is the job description for somebody to be able to work for you someday, Mother Teresa? Mother Teresa responded without hesitating. She said just two things. You got to be willing to work hard and have a joyful attitude. It's pretty good. But I would say to you, sadly, Brighton, I see a lot of Christians. You know what? Sadly, I see a lot of ministers that don't have a joyful spirit about them. And that shouldn't be. Jesus has forgiven us of our sins. We're going to spend eternity with Him. The fact of the matter is, when it all shakes out, that's all that matters, right? Look what Chuck Swindoll said. The remarkable thing about human beings is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. So, Lord, I want to apply that. It's been impressed upon my mind. And, Lord, I'm asking you as people depart, Lord, would you let us express it so it doesn't lead to depression? Because the word of the Lord says, Jesus, after he washed the disciples' feet, you know what he said? Ye know these things. Happy are you if you do them. If you see it, now if you do it, you'll have a joyful spirit about you. You've heard the word of the Lord today. Now look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, right there in the middle of that passage. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. The word of God, is it awesome or what, Brighton? What an amazing passage of scripture for you and I to apply. Lord, let us be spiritually, biblically, mentally healthy people for your glory by applying the word of God to our lives. Lord, let there be a spirit of celebration. Let there be a spirit of supplication, a spirit of appreciation, continuously giving thanks and trusting you. Stand with me, would you, Brighton? I close with this just quick story, and I wanted to ask you to apply it if we can. The man, if you Google China Inland Mission, you'll see that Hudson Taylor, the man that founded the China Inland Mission, he in great part was one of the founding fathers of the missions work that we see today in the world. And Hudson Taylor used to hang a plaque in his homes wherever he resided, and it had one word and then a second word that was hyphenated. You know what it was? The first word that he hung was the word Ebenezer. Say Ebenezer. And the second word that was hyphenated was Jehovah Jireh. Say Jehovah Jireh. The first word, Ebenezer, means hitherto hath the Lord brought us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. He's brought us this far. He's helped us this far. The second word literally means, we know it, the Lord our provider. But it also has the idea, the Lord will see to it. He'll see to what we have need of. One look back, Ebenezer, I look back at the faithfulness of God. How many of you can look back and you know God's been faithful to you? And the other, look forward. The Lord will see to it. The Lord will provide. And look forward to the Lord's assurances. He's going to provide because He is Jehovah Jireh. When I need that ram in the thicket, while I'm walking up one side of the mountain, the Lord's bringing the ram up the other side. It's going to be there at the right place, the right time for my need. Friends, you can live in that. Ebenezer, the Lord's brought me this far. I look back, He's been faithful. I look forward and I'm assured based upon His love for me, He's going to provide. I don't have to stress. I just need to celebrate who He is. Would you bow your heads with me today? Lord, just in these next few minutes, would you do, Lord, it's all been you anyway, but would you just bring it to fruition? Lord, I've wrestled with this some. Rhonda knows it. Just to be able to relax in who you have made me to be, who we are. Forgive me, Lord, when I tried to live up to other people's standards, worried what people thought. Lord, I say, Ebenezer, look back and you've brought me this far with your people. Lord, I look forward and I say, Jehovah Jireh, I'm assured you're going to care until I stand before you. We're going to spend eternity together. Everything else, Lord, is His minor issues. So help me to just keep a spirit of celebration, a spirit of appreciation, and Lord, to live it out, to apply it, to live in the application of it each and every day.